A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Senior Pastor of Word Fountain Christian Ministries, Pastor Dupe Adefola. Be blessed.
Lord, there are some of us here who are looking up to you for answer to the questions that life is posing at us. There are some of us that are looking up to you. How shall I respond to this challenge? What shall I do? What shall I say? Where shall I go? Who shall I call? What shall become of this challenge that I'm facing? But indeed, through it all, we can say you are the mighty God. You are the great I am that I am. You are healing. You are joy-giving. You are God who provides for your people. You are the one, O God, that makes a way where there seems to be no way. I pray that every heart will find an answer, even today, for those questions that trouble their heart. Lord, we ask of you to speak to us. Let your word come as a two-edged sword. Let it even be sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it discern the intents of our heart. Let there be a separation between the spirit and even the thoughts of our hearts. Help us not to confuse what you are saying to what we are thinking. Lord, let there be distinction in the grace that we are having today. Thank you indeed for the 11 months of 2017. Daddy, we do not take it for granted. We went far, we went wide. Daddy, there was darkness, there was day. There was storm, there was stillness. Jehovah, there was sickness, O Lord, but you brought forth healing. Lord, we are grateful for increase on every side. Lord, we return the praise to you. And the remaining month of 2017, we are secured in your love. Amen. Assured of your grace. Amen. That you that started the good work, you will surely bring it to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. That all the good thoughts that you have towards us in 2017, Lord, we will come to a hope and an expected end. Hope will not be dashed. In the name of Jesus. And 2017 will not be a burial year for anyone. Amen. It will not be an end of life. Amen. It will not be an end of hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Amen. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord. Please be seated. Amen. Thank you again for coming. We are talking about cities of refuge. And by the grace of God, He has indeed been a city of refuge. We have been pointed in prayer. We've been pointed in worship. We've been pointed even in our fellowship to the fact that God is our refuge. We want to thank God for everyone who was at the vigil. We bless the name of the Lord for every vessel that He used to remind us that we can say of the Lord, He is our refuge and our fortress, a God in whom we will trust. Let's look at Joshua chapter 20. Amen. Joshua chapter 20. Hallelujah. Joshua is after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 20. Thank you, Father. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that kills any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he has not flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them." Verse 5, "And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then shall they not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kijat-Taba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Brethren, I believe everyone has a place of refuge. It's a place we turn to when life becomes a little overwhelming. The Lord gave us an example in Joshua chapter 20 of his own provision for someone who is running from something. Although in this case it was specific about manslaughter, but it can be anything that one is running to. At least we believe in the New Testament. It might be a frustrating day, a threat from the weather. I'm sure when you see the rain running, if you don't have an umbrella, you'll try and find a place where you want to hide until the rain is over. Can be a physical setback or even a relationship problem. Everyone needs to have a place of refuge. And I hope that our homes feel like a place we can run to, a place we can go to when the threats of life comes around us. Some people will turn to music. Some will find a quiet place where they feel safe. Some people will go to the mountains. Some will go into the fields. Some will just turn on the television just to distract the noise that is going on inside of them. Some will call on a friend who always seems to know what to say. Others will go for a run. Some will jump on their bike and just cycle out of that place of distress. Some would even turn to drugs or alcohol. Some would look for places where even they could be exposed more to danger. But this morning, by the grace of God, we trust God that he is our refuge. Amen. And we'll be looking at the significance of this passage to contemporary life. What is the meaning of Joshua chapter 20? What is happening here? Some of the things we have said before, just a reminder as we focus on the theme for today. The cities of refuge reminds us of the value of life, the concept of the cities of refuge, that we can think about places we can run to because of life that is in danger. When someone is sick, we think about the hospital. We want to call the ambulance or we want to get them to the GP because we have expectation that when they get there, there will be a change. There will be a difference. There is value in life. No life is to be treated without protection. When we watch the TV and we see people trying to be saved from elements, maybe people who have fled Syria, there's something in us that says, oh, this ought not to be. And so this passage is very significant because it draws our attention to life. Life should not be wasted. And all of us can run from danger. We can take that place. But thank God that life is not just about running. You can walk, you can sit, you can stand. But there are times in life that we have to run, whether from imminent danger or perceived danger. We have alarm, buildings are alarmed so that there is a threat of fire. People can run out of it. And so there is a concept that danger requires that we find refuge. I pray that God in his mercy will lead us out of danger into a safe place in Jesus' name. It was so severe that God wants us to know that life is not to be taken with levity, that he pronounced judgment for anyone who commits murder. Only the person who committed manslaughter is made provision for safety. And so also in our relationships, we need to be mindful of each other's life. Don't let us be mindful of the fact that we are to protect one another. In our home, in our intimate relationship, we should be thinking, how can I be a refuge to my husband, a refuge to my wife, a refuge to my children? We should not be the ones afflicting pain. We should not be the one causing them frustration. We should not be the one making them to run. We should be the people they run to. That should be our place. We should be their Shechem. We should be their Kadesh. We should be their Hebron. We should be their Golan. We should be the people that when God says, appoint for yourself a person who will be your refuge, that my family should be able to say, when we get to mommy, we should be okay. Your family should be able to say, when we get to you, we'll be fine. They should feel the comfort that is available, no matter the threat that is outside. Let it be that the people that belong to us want to come to us because they know they will be safe. I pray that no one will have to go and appoint a refuge from outside. Amen. We have children that have to find a place and say, I can't go home. I don't like the situation at home. I think I've said it before, as a young child growing up, knowing that my home was a polygamous family and it was volatile. I just could not know the tempo that was going on. I don't know whether my mom was fighting the other woman or the other woman was fighting my mom. Coming from secondary school to go home, my heart will be palpitating. I'll be peeping. Are they fighting today? That was not a refuge. It was not a refuge. Are they fighting? Are people around my house? Because it was volatile. And I pray that all of us, if you have ever experienced that such, you don't perpetuate it. Don't perpetuate it. I said before, I was at work one day and everyone was seated and someone came to the house, to the office. It was an office. And the person said, oh, the women are fighting in railway quarters. My heart leapt. Could it be my home? Because that was normal, but it was not safe. And having gone through that, whatever price I have to pay to make sure that I don't perpetuate that, I am grateful to God that he gave us that grace. It wasn't that it's not that we didn't have quarrels, but the consciousness that our home should be a place of refuge helped us to walk through our challenges, our conflicts, so that the children that we are raising are not peeping to say, is home safe? Can we come home? What's the tempo in our homes today? If our children were to be given a choice, will they want to come home? A refuge is a safe place. Value the lives around you. Just think about it. What can I do to make a difference in the situation around me? Joshua chapter 20 also reminds us that God established a system of justice, but also with mercy. Because not all issues are black and white. The cities of refuge were really a forerunner to our legal system. Now we know that everyone is considered innocent until they are judged guilty. If a manslayer could run, no one, and if the avenger of blood did not catch them, then it means that they have to be given fair hearing. Please, in our homes, are we giving each other fair hearing? Or are we prejudging the situations? Are we making people to feel guilty even while they are innocent in their conscience? You can imagine that if someone ran to the city of refuge, you know, we said they are about 32 miles maximum distance from one another. And you get to the entrance and the people say, no, you are not going to come in because you have killed someone. But I'm innocent. Let me say my own case, side of the case. And they are not allowed to. Please, it's God who wants us to allow, make room in our hearts to hear one another out. Make room. Hear your husband. Hear your wife. Hear your child. Some children will say, Mom, you're always saying it's my fault. Always. Even before I explain myself, you say it's your fault. They feel that they've been judged even before they can explain themselves. It doesn't make a child to feel secured. A husband will say, I know you've already concluded. A wife will say, I know you won't allow me to speak. Please, the cities of refuge, they were to allow people to say their state their case and to listen to them with care. Actually, we are to extend innocence to one another until the person is proven guilty. Even after they've been proven guilty, I pray that with the death of Jesus on the cross, we will not be the people passing judgment. We will point them to Jesus, who is the ultimate city of refuge, in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the implication for the church? Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. The church should be a city of refuge. The world should be looking to the church for help, for protection. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Has anybody seen it? Let's share the reading. Hallelujah.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of a fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath out against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please, this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about how we handle our emotions. He said, the law says we must not kill, because if we kill, we'll be in danger of judgment. But he extended and said, don't even be angry with your brother. Let your brother feel safe with you. Don't be angry with your wife. Don't be angry with your children without a cause. Otherwise, you'll be in danger of judgment. Even don't call people names. Name calling. Don't say raka. Don't say fool. You can see Jesus going to the details of the things that can make people's hearts to faint. He said, if you are doing all these things and you have done it, and you come to God, you bring a gift to God, you bring a sacrifice to God. He said, before you present your gift to God, go and reconcile with your brother. Because there's someone who is feeling unsafe with you. There's someone who feels that you are angry with them. There is someone who is not at peace with you, or someone you are not at peace with. So God is not interested in the gift we give to him when our heart is not at peace with others. When we are in war with friends, at war with family, God is saying, no, I would rather you go and be reconciled first. I would rather you go and talk it through first. I would rather you make peace with your brother first, so that the judgment that is upon any either of you is taken off. God wants us to live in peace with one another. And I pray that we'll be instruments of peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know it's easy to consider our service to God bigger than our service to humanity? It's easy for us to want to show up in church when we have messed up with other people. It's easy for us to present an aura or personality of a person of quietness when we have just spoken evil to one another. But God is saying, look, I value you coming to my presence. Don't stop. Some people will say, I can't go to church because I've just fallen. God didn't say that, come. But when you come, Let there be an awareness in your heart that you need to make peace with your brother. And then you go back and reconcile. It's only if your heart is hardened that you don't want to be reconciled, that God does not want your gift. I pray that when we have aught with one another, when we are angry with one another, when it appears as if we are no longer in a safe place with one another, God will give us the conscience to make peace in Jesus' name. Because God said, leave your gift before the altar. Go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come back. You like that sort of relationship where God is not just saying, go and make peace with your brother and don't come back. No, come back to me and let us agree together. I pray that God will help us to be people of peace in the name of Jesus. The church of Jesus, I pray, will be a place of peace. Psalm 27 verses 4 to 5. This is the implication for the church of Jesus. Psalm 27 verses 4 to 5. Someone reading or I read? Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
One thing have I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord,
yes, sir,
and to inquire his temple. For in his time of trouble,
in the time
he shall hide he shall hide me in his pavilion.
Amen.
In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me.
Yes, Lord.
He shall set me up upon a rock.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One thing I desire, one thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, this is a temple, this is a sanctuary, it's the house of God. We bless the name of the Lord. And one thing God wants people to have in heart is that they should want to come to the house of God. They should want to have a place of refuge in the house of God. And so God welcomes all kinds of people. He wants even the people that the world has rejected to be able to come to him. And throughout the Bible, we'll see Jesus will walk with the demon possessed. He will walk with the physically disfigured, the tax collectors, the lepers, prostitutes, children, even religious hypocrites. God welcomed everyone, said, anyone that comes to me, I will nowise cast away. Why? Because he knows that if our heart is right, it can change our heart, our acts. If we make our hearts right with him, if we allow him to plow our hearts, those things that we have become can be changed. And God is able to transform us in Jesus' name. In the city of refuge, when we come into the house of God, we should feel protected. We should be kept from harm. The church should be a place of refuge, not just for anyone who sins accidentally, but even those who feel that they have committed an offense knowingly. If anyone's heart can be pricked, that they run to the house of God, and they can lay hold of the horn of the altar, mercy should be the outcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 25 verse 4 says, you have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. What is it that we need God to be our refuge for? Can be financial poverty. It can be emotional poverty. You may be feeling weak in your body. You may be in need of strength. You may be feeling distressed because of what you are facing. You can be facing a storm in life. Things have risen up that is overwhelming you. I pray that today you will find God as your refuge. You will find him as your shade in the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus never condoned sinful behaviors, but he reached out to people in love. Someone says Jesus did not practice temple politics. He practiced the politics of love. Anything that will make Jesus to extend love to you, he will do it. And I pray that you will experience his love in Jesus' name. Amen. So that means the church should be able to extend the love like Christ extended it. We should be a place where there is no class distinction. Someone was explaining to me that in the mosque, the reason why people line up shoulder to shoulder. It's just to show to everyone, whether you are a prime minister or you have come out of the prison, is to show everyone that everyone is the same before God. And so people line up shoulder to shoulder. When they are bowing down, they bow down together. When they are sitting down, they sit down together. When they are squatting, they squat together. He said that's just a simple reason to show everyone when you come, you just fall in line. Because ultimately before God, we are all one. And I pray that the same will be our consciousness as the people of God in Jesus' name. Actually, Jesus removes class distinction. He said even to us in the book of James, where we read and we were praying on the telecon, he said, do you show partiality one to another? We should not be showing partiality. Everyone should feel free to come into the house of God. It shouldn't be even be known by race. There should be no Nigerian church, one Ghanaian church, one Kenyan church, one Sierra Leonean church. It should be a church of God for all people. Everyone should feel comfortable in the house of God. Because in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 20, the Bible says both the citizen and the stranger should feel safe in the city of refuge. Praise the Lord. So the church should be the same. It should not be a place where it should be a place where people can find grace, no matter their past. We shouldn't judge people by where they have been. The God of heaven made the people who needed refuge to run into the city of refuge, and they should be accepted. And the past should not be something that should be hanging over anyone. If anyone can come to the cross and ask for repent and ask for forgiveness of sin. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So the challenge for the church today, if we are to stand as the city of refuge representing Jesus, is that we must know the truth. Hallelujah. We should be a place where sinful people can find refuge for their soul. Do you know that sin makes people to run from themselves? Was talking to a man, and I was saying to him, you are in isolation, you are not associating with other people. Why don't you go and play with others? He said, I don't even like myself. How can I like others? I pray that that will not be our experience in the name of Jesus Christ. God wants to be his church to be a place where people can find mercy instead of judgment. The year 2017 is running out. Who are you a judge to this year? In January, in February, in March, in April, in May, in June, in July, in August, in September, October, even this November. Have I done anything that you are holding against me? Don't carry it forward. Let mercy be what you extend to me. Is there anyone in the church that has offended you and you are saying, this one I can't forgive? No, we need to be a house of mercy. Don't carry that weight into the future. You know, unforgiveness is the weight. Someone said it's like taking poison and thinking that it will hurt the other person. Let's go. Let's be a place of refuge. Amen? Amen. It should be a place where we look past the surface and we look deep into the heart to help one another. It should be a place where truth is proclaimed, not hatred or ridicule. I believe God that he wants us to affirm love. He wants us to establish justice, to point to the true place of refuge at the foot of the cross of Jesus and give the church a vivid picture of what he wants us to be. So where are we going with this? What does this mean? How does this challenge us? How are we going to change? What needs to change? The first thing is that we must all identify and confront our personal prejudice. What is my prejudice? How do I see people? What perspective of life am I holding to? What lens am I wearing? There are many changes that are happening in society. Some of them I'm finding it difficult to grapple with. Many policies that are changing, traditions that are changing. I am struggling with some of the things that are happening in society. But I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what is your thoughts concerning this? I believe it was this week this Church of England gave some guidelines that I am struggling with. And I'm asking the Lord, is this your will for the church? I went to find to search, and I realized that it was in 1553 that the church outlawed homosexuality, and it was standing since that time, almost 600 years. But now the world is going round and round in circle. What is the response of the church? How do we help people who are caught up in things that we consider to be wrong and things that we consider to be a deception of the mind? Hallelujah. What are your own prejudices? What are the things you are considering that this ought not to be? When you judge other people under whose benchmark, what benchmark are you using? I think it was Brother Corin that was asking a question yesterday and said, are you trying to change the person into your own mold? And I asked the question, what is my mold? Is it the mold of God or the mold of my tradition or the mold of how I've been brought up? What are you using to measure other people? What is my prejudice? I pray that God will help us this morning. Sometimes there are things that have happened in the past that have gone into our subconsciousness, and we are just using it as a judgment for every other experience that we come across, especially in intimate relationships. I pray that we will drop our own prejudices and just allow God to help us as we go through life in Jesus' name. Amen. You must let go of the past. If you don't want to carry the weight into 2018, as we go into anoint the shield, I want you to be able to say, God, you know what? I'm carrying this guilt, or I'm carrying this fear. I'm carrying this prejudice. Help me. How would you want me to go into the new year? Let's also take an objective look at our church. If we see areas where we are building walls, barriers, how can we change those walls and make them into bridges? Among the men, among the women, among the singles, the youth and the children. What can we do differently so that everybody that comes in will feel comfortable to be with us and to be with God? I pray that we will not raise the walls, but rather we will turn them into bridges in the name of Jesus. We want to be a place of refuge rather than a place of condemnation. That's the second thing. Objective evaluation of our groups, your team, your department, the ministry God has committed into your hand. How have walls risen in them? The third thing we need to do is to reevaluate our position on contemporary moral hot topics. I think I've said that already. Let's examine them from the perspective of the value of human life. From the perspective of human life. This soul may be this today. You know, I ask people, when I have someone at work who has put tattoo on his body, and I know in the past I would have just shuddered. How can you do this to yourself? But the more I see it, I think I'm beginning to understand that there's something deeper in the heart than what is on the body. But one of them came to me and said, you know what? I really don't like these tattoos again. I said, I can remove the colors, but the scars will be there for life. That's how his skin is going to be unless it does a skin graft. But at the time he wanted to put on the tattoo, if anyone had told him, you are going to dislike this thing in future, I would say to them, this is what is raining. This is what I want to do. What am I saying? Some people, we have some tattoos. They're not necessarily the physical one. We have painted our bodies that people could see us in that shape. And they are saying, I don't really want to relate to this person. I don't like the presentation. But you are trying to change, but the scars are still there. I want us to trust God that by his mercy, our mind can be changed and we can walk through those differences. In the name of Jesus. We can show respect even where we are different from one another. Respect does not need to have color. I don't have to disrespect you because I disagree with you. It's two different things. I can disagree with you but still do it respectfully. And I pray that God will help us as we move forward to be a people who extend respect to one another. in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing I have is that we have to be intentional about looking for ways to point the way to the place of refuge, to point people to the place of refuge. We talked about people preparing the path to the place of refuge so that people don't stumble as they look for places of refuge. We need to look for opportunities to tell people about the one who forgives even when we don't deserve it. On the ground yesterday, I was in a coach where you could see that the people were drunk and they were still drinking. I don't know whether there was a match but they were drunk, very loud. Everyone was just watching them, just a group of people. But not only were they drunk, they were still drinking. And I kept thinking, Lord, how does one help them get past this place? I didn't talk to them. I'm not saying I did. But I needed to have a time to reflect and say, I'm sure they're looking for something. I'm sure they need God. I'm sure they need comfort. I'm sure they need the word of God. But how do we help people in that state? Not just alcohol physically, but people who are troubled in their heart. People who are wounded by life. People who once loved God, but have gone through experiences that they're doubting whether God is real. They are all around us. How can we help them to come to God? We have to be intentional. The cities of refuge, they were made known to people who were running. Is this house known to people who are running? That's the place they can run to. And when they come, will they find comfort and confidence? We have to be intentional in being friends to people who are hurting. We need to reach out to people who are at the fringes of life. Today in Swindon, after service, they'll be going out to knock on people's doors and find out how they can help them. Some people will say, no, we don't need your help. Some people will say, you know what? I need you to pray for me. Some people will say, you know what? Someone just died or someone is sick. People are in need. There's pain around. As a church, we have to be intentional to reach out to people. This year, all the outreaches we have gone, there's been no time that people say, why did you bother? We've had people who will hold our hands and cry. We have people who will hold our hands and say, oh, I didn't know I could have something free from anyone. And so we have to be intentional in reaching out. Amen. But that is what we do to people for ourselves. What can we do for ourselves? Those of us that are already inside but hurting. Those of us that are already inside but wounded. Those of us who are already inside but losing direction and losing hope. Those of us who are already inside but running away from our past. Feeling hopeless, feeling helpless. We want to assure one another that Jesus can help everyone. Jesus can heal the wounded. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you wounded at heart? Have you been hurt by life? Has 2017 been a year of difficulties? Have you experienced pain? You don't have to go into December carrying it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and pain to bear. He has already paid the price. He's already made the way. He's already spoken into creation. He has already spoken on your behalf. He has given his life for payment. Those sins and those burdens, he said, bring them to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No one else can give you rest like Jesus. I hope there are people here who have experienced that forgiveness. You felt his embrace. You felt him draw you close to him. Today is another day. Maybe there are places in your heart where you are thinking, oh, 2017, will this ever get sorted? A day before the Lord can be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be like a day. I pray that you will trust him with those fears in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. What is your burden? What is it that you believe that if God sorted this out, 2017 will be a year to be remembered? I pray that in the remaining days, less than 38 days of 2017, God will come through for you in Jesus' name. The fears of yesterday, the fears of today, they can become the song of tomorrow. It can change your song. It can give you a new song. Yes, there are places you have desired to attain in the year 2017, and you are still far from them. God can accelerate your movement. He can increase your pace. He helped Elijah to outrun the chariot of Ahab. He's still the same God. Trust in him. Don't give up on 2017. Because each of the remaining days are days that are loaded with benefits. The Bible says the days are loaded with benefits. And God crowns the year with his goodness. As we go into 2018, I want you to agree with God that even the year 2017 is still crowned with goodness. In the name of Jesus. That you have found refuge in him in this year. We have been talking about who God is to us. I pray that everyone will end this year knowing of a truth that God has been our refuge. He has been the place where we came with nothing, but we were looked after. When we came as nobodies, but we became somebody. He's the place where we came with emptiness, but he filled us with his joy. By the mercy of the living God, he rose from the grave so that we don't have to go to the grave. The year 2017 will not be a burial year. It will not be a death year for anyone. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says God frustrates the token of the liars. He annuls the covenant with the grave. I pray by the mercy of God that where sickness has been chasing people, going from one doctor to the other, you will come into that refuge. Where God in his mercy will bring healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of us, we have been running from the issue of just career. You really know the things you want to do, but it's been elusive. It's been far from you. I pray that God will show you the path of life, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. For some of us, it's our marriages. Things are so difficult and so tight that we are like strangers in the house. God is the one who joins the heart. He's the third person in that relationship. I pray that you will make room for him so that you begin to experience the new wine that he introduces in Jesus' name. For some of us, it's an immigration issue. By the mercy of God, the government may be thinking of what to do, but God has a plan. If whatever you need to do to become settled and established so that you are not looking at your back, I pray by the mercy of God that you receive. Amen. You receive that counsel, you receive that help. Amen. And where you need to make up your mind to change direction, God will give you confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. The mercy of the Lord is everywhere. If God will want you to return to the country of your birth, it's not a sin to do that. It's just that you need to come to terms that this is the will of God for me. No one will be outside of the will of God. But to be outside of the will of God is to be outside of the city of refuge. God will not protect what he has not provided. He will not. But if he has provided it, he will protect it. In the name of Jesus. When he told Mary that Mary was going to have a child, she was going to be outside of the will of man. Because it was not allowed. The law was going to be against her. But because it was God's provision, it was God's timing, it was God's decision. Even her husband, Joseph, God spoke to him to make sure that his will was done. What God has said to you, what God is orchestrating in your life, that may be misunderstood by people. When you are in him, he is your city of refuge. It will bring everything into alignment in Jesus' name. God wants to help us to begin again. He wants to make us new. He wants to lead us in the direction for our life. All we need to do is to ask. Because when the person running from the slayer gets to the city of refuge, he has to make his case known. Let's rise up to our feet. He has to tell the people what his situation is, what happened. That's one thing. We cannot come to God and pretend that everything is hunky-dory. We can't pretend that God, well, people around me don't know. So maybe God does not know. He knows. He knows not just your fears. He knows your failures. He knows my failures. He knows my fears. Hallelujah. But he wants us to talk to him. Because by communicating with God, we commune with him. We express ourselves before him. So if this afternoon your heart is heavy, either because of sin, the guilt of sin, or the fear of tomorrow, talk to God. Talk to God today that, God, I know that you know me intimately. You know my thoughts from afar. You know my rising up. You know my sitting down. God, you are not, oh God, ashamed of me. That's why you allowed Jesus to die on Calvary. And I'm not ashamed of the provision you have made. I come to ask for forgiveness of my sin. I ask, oh God, that you forgive me the way I have not been a refuge to my family. I have not welcomed them. I have not encouraged them. Anywhere, Lord, that I have fed distrust, where I have made people to feel that I don't need them or they don't need me, God, forgive me. Help me to be a refuge to the people around me in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that cities of refuge were taken advantage of? You may be feeling that you've been exploited. You've been taken advantage of. Tell God, God, I did what you told me to do, but I have been exploited. I have been taken advantage of. Lord, forgive those who sinned against me, but heal my heart. Are you brokenhearted? Are you in a place of despair? Talk to God about that situation. Are you afraid of tomorrow? God can make tomorrow a refuge for you. He can hide you in a secret pavilion. Under the shadow of his wings, you can find safety. Talk to God about your children. Are they afraid? Maybe they have bullies around them at school. They come home, they tell you. Maybe they are facing exams and their hearts are heavy. They don't know what to do. Ask God, God, be a refuge to me, be a refuge to my children. Pray for your spouse, pray for your brothers and your sisters. I tell you, there is a law that is happening in the world today. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that try to build it. And unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen, they stay awake in vain. I want you to ask the God of heaven to watch over your families, wherever they may be, and to watch over your life. Because he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. He is our refuge. I want us to pray for the church of Jesus that it will be what God wants it to be. We've been reading a lot about the church and tithes and what people are doing are the abuse of the financial abuse. That's not the intention of God. I want us to ask God, Lord, heal your church. Lord, uproot the spirit of corruption. That, Lord, that which is sacred will be treated as sacred. That the church should not be a place of exploitation. It should be a place where the poor are cared for. Where those who have none are being provided for. Lord, let your church be a refuge in the times we are in. I want you to ask God of heaven to make Word Fountain Christian Ministries a refuge for the community. That when people are thinking of where to run to, they will think about the church. The things that the government used to do, they are no longer able to. God, equip your church so that the wounded, the brokenhearted, will be able to find a place of refuge in your church. I want you to ask the Lord God of heaven that the city, the community, will look to God through the church. You know, many people have been wounded by the church. I met a man last Saturday. I was talking to him about God. He said, yes, I know there is God. But I don't like my vicar. I don't know like what he taught me as a child. And because of that, he's left the church. I want us to pray. God, let your church stop wounding. Let it be a place of healing. God, by your mercy, Lord, awake your church to its responsibility as a city of refuge. Lord, help me, my role in the church. That, Lord, it will add to the value of the church. It will not distract from the church. It will not make people not to want to come to church. But I will be a value-adding person in your house. In the name of Jesus. I want us to pray for leaders of churches. Where God in himself is unhappy. You know, the sons of Eli, the Bible says they were taking the offering of the people. And God was angry with Eli and his sons. I want us to pray against the spirit of Eli. That people are raising the church only to perpetuate their own dynasty. It is not of God. God has chosen priests according to gifts and callings. Let the spirit of Eli that is making the church to become a business, let it go out of the church. That God, your fear will come upon everyone who calls himself a pastor, an apostle, evangelist, teacher, whatever title, oh God. We pray that every spirit of exploitation and corruption that has come into the church, Daddy, you will purge it in the name of Jesus. We are praying, oh God, that your church will be a city of refuge. By your mercy, there will be open hearts, oh God, for the wounded to come in and find refuge. Brethren, this thing is paramount in the heart of God. Because if the nation is failing, and if the church fails, where will God send his people? Where will God send the poor? Where will those in distress find help? Where will hope come? You know, the reason why many people commit suicide is because they didn't think anyone could help them. May the church not lose that value that God placed in it. May the church be alive to its responsibility. And when we talk about the church, we are not talking about the buildings. We are not talking about the furnishing. We are talking about you and I. We are talking about leaders. We are talking about workers. We are talking about members. Everyone taking their role seriously. It should be a place that when people share their burden with us, they should feel confident that it's not going to be an issue of confidentiality. I want us to ask the God of heaven for that grace. Lord, in the remaining parts of 2017, as you turn the calendar of time, Daddy, let your church also be turned back. Let's pray for the church in Africa, the church in Asia, the church in America, the church in Europe. Because one thing with people is that a church is a church. They don't know one different from the other. And when you read what is going on, you just shudder and ask yourself, Lord, which way forward? But God can cleanse his church. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus took the rod, the whip, to the church. And he was beating those that were buying and selling. Though God can clean his church, he can begin to discipline everyone who is buying and selling in his church and restore the church to what it ought to be, a city of refuge. Father, we thank you. I want you to pray for yourself. The month of December is coming. You have desires for 2017. Talk to God about your desires. Those three prayer requests of this year, have they been answered? Have they become testimonies? Or can God make a difference in this remaining day? Talk to God. Some of us, we have important dates in the month of December. Ask God to crown those dates with goodness, with testimonies. Ask God to show himself strong on behalf of every family. Ask God to help us to walk in the grace that he has provided. You know that God in his mercy can make the month of December your best month yet in 2017. Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of men what God has desired and planned for you. That God will reveal it by his spirit in the name of Jesus. I want you to trust God even as you place your hand on your heart. That your heart will find rest in the month of December. That rest will be your portion. Your heart will not fear. Your heart will not faint. Mercy will be your portion. God will speak favorably to you. God will show you his kindness. He will load each day with his benefits. I want you to trust God that you will not be even a byword. Because of the mercy of God, you will be a go-to person. You will be a go-to person. People will have reason to talk to you because God will add value to your life. In the name of Jesus, agree with God that you are going to celebrate the month of December and that you are going to cross over into 2018 with celebration. In the name of Jesus. Thank God because you're going out and your coming in will be preserved. Speak that the protection of the Lord will be upon you and your family. No evil will befall anyone. I speak over the word Fountain Christian Ministries that the mercy of God will keep us safe in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Let's pray for our pregnant women that God in his mercy will strengthen them. Let's believe God that as he has allowed us even to keep hearing about safe delivery, that Lord, those that are pregnant will deliver safely. At their own time, oh God, they will carry to fullness of time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that are pregnant because your strength will be given to them. In the name of Jesus, to carry to time and to deliver safely. Let's pray for those believing God for the fruit of the womb, that God in his mercy will remember them. The Bible says God remembered Hannah. God remembered Elizabeth. God remembered Sarah. God, you are still remembering your people. In this month of December, let it be that your daughters are remembered. That, Lord, families that are trusting you for the fruit of the womb are remembered. And Lord, I will say, December, God remembered me. Daddy, let it be. By your mercy, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. For those believing God for their stay in this country, let's ask God to make it a month of settlement, a month of celebration, a month of direction, a month of establishment. Lord, you have done it before in this year 2017. Daddy, we are reminding you that, Lord, remember your sons, remember your daughters. You said wherever the sole of our feet shall tread upon, you have given to us for our possession, for our inheritance. Daddy, remember the people of inheritance and complete your work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For those believing God for change of job or new jobs, Daddy, the month of December may be a quiet month, but it's also a blessed month. Daddy, there are jobs that will be made available in the month of December. Lord, remember your people. Daddy, those that want to change jobs, that want to change careers, Daddy, let there be definition. For those that are not working at the moment and are looking for a way onto the ladder, Daddy, we pray that you make a way where there seems to be no way. Let every desire be granted and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.